Director Amy Mann's new film is titled Texas Killing Fields, and it's an atmospheric crime thriller starring Sam Worthington, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Chloe Moretz. The film is now available on DVD and Blu-ray, and it's produced by acclaimed director and Amy's father, Michael Mann.
Hey, Brad, this is Pam. We got a girl gone missing over here. We just located the car. It's in the fields.
If she is in the fields, she's as good as gone.
Brian, Texas City Police Department. We got a homicide of our own over here.
One more big girl.
Blonde.
Dark hair.
It's us. Texas City. Fields. It's not our jurisdiction.
All along those bayous, our local people won't go in there. It's infected or something.
Hey! Where's that?
Get in.
Can't you just go home and watch TV like other kids?
I'm gonna ask you a couple questions.
See this girl?
Which one you found the hand?
You wouldn't mind telling me about the guy with the green Pontiac.
Why would he kill her after he murdered somebody and cut into him?
I'd assume to send a message.
911, what is your emergency?
A man in my house.
These are other body recovery sites. This is where the phone call to us originated from.
Right, over here.
Let's go!
Come on, get in!
What if I can't stop this one either?
Be waiting for you.
Mike, this snaps the land.
Don't do nothing stupid. 07 infamous green Pontiac. Aaron!
You don't know how close to the edge you are.
I know exactly where I am.
Now, my understanding is that the script had been around for a little bit, and it was, I mean, it was a hot property, but some people were afraid of the kind of the dark tone of it. So what about that dark tone? Did you feel alluring and not frightening?
Yeah. When I read the research that was attached to the script before I actually read the script, and that was really what initially drew me in. Because I was kind of stunned that I hadn't been aware of these 50-some-odd crimes and that this phenomenon of crime could exist over the course of 40 years. The thing that really struck me about it was that it wasn't as simple as there's a bad guy, we catch the bad guy, then we feel good at the end of the film. But it was because, just if you do the math, there's been many killers. You know, there's been this sort of systemic, this kind of ubiquitous pattern of, you know, men committing these crimes, dumping the bodies and getting away with it for many, many decades. Mm-hmm. And then when I read the screenplay, I thought it was just incredibly visceral. You know, Don Ferrarone, the writer, had worked in the DEA and been a cop himself for many years. And there were elements to the screenplay that I felt were almost sense memory. These were visual elements, actually. It was all in the exposition. These were things that, as a writer who'd never been down those roads, you couldn't fabricate. You had to have seen them. And then in terms of how to approach it directorially, I felt the trick was, which is what I said to Don when I first sat down with him, was to kind of treat it like a ghost story. Mm. So if you get into the crime scene and get graphic with it, I felt like you would only repel people. And since the ultimate objective was to get people to know about these crimes, that you needed to do everything you could to seduce them into this world and make it visually and in terms of your music as seductive and evocative as possible. So I felt that was the way that you got around what I felt might be a trap of making it very, very graphic.
But the script obviously has it's very authentic, as you said, but for you as the filmmaker, I mean, you have to immerse yourself in that role so it feels authentic to you on a personal level. What did you do to do that? You did a lot of research, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a lot. I did a lot of research, and then the cast and the crew, thank goodness, I was very lucky to have people who were willing to go down that road with me. They did a lot of research as well with me. You know, the touchstone was always, I felt like I had to have been to that place mm-hmm. in order to film it authentically and be respectful of it. So that meant, and I don't know why that is. I grew up in Indiana. I didn't grow up in L.A., so I'm pretty sensitive to community and people and how, you know, Los Angeles, you couldn't get more different than Los Angeles and small town Indiana. So, though, you know, different cultures and what those cultures feel like. So I feel like if you're going to make a movie about a place that does exist and people that really are walking around, you need to pay them the respect of immersing yourself as deeply as you can into their world. So I went to the L.A. County Coroner's Office and then took the actors with me there. I spent some time, a lot of time with Los Angeles Sheriff's Homicide. I actually took some classes. They have this really great series of classes that detectives from all around the country take about how you handle crime scene, crime scene investigation. The actors did the same, Jeffrey, Sam, and Jessica, and I spent a lot of time with LASD and LAPD, went to crime scenes. Then, you know, crime scene investigation in a big city like L.A. is very different than a small town in Texas. So mm-hmm. we spent a lot of time with the real detectives. We went to a lot of prison facilities down there, talked to inmates. Cheryl Lee, Chloe, and I, and James went to a safe house that had been set up for people who used to cook and sell meth, so we could sort of understand that world, you know, an enclosed world on the fringe, so that Chloe could know what it might be like, what those people, what they look like, what they, how they speak. There was just, I could go on and on, but there was just a lot of that kind of research, which wouldn't necessarily literally show up on screen, but hopefully the idea was that it would hopefully permeate the tone of the film. But at the end of the day, when you're finished watching the movie, you feel like you've been to a place that feels authentic mm-hmm. and that you've never been to before.
Well, that's part of what I was going to ask you, because when you do immerse yourself in that world and you're given this kind of nonstop stimuli of information and details, is it a difficult process to kind of decimate which details will work for the narrative?
You mean directorially?
Yeah, I mean, which ones can you use that would benefit the narrative and which ones would not? Is it?
You know, I sort of feel like they all benefit the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
The more details you have, you know, the devil and the truth are in the details, so I feel like the more details you have, the more real the world is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't, whether we're aware of it or not, I think as people, we take in all those things, how, where someone's parked their hair, what color shirt they're wearing, how they're tying their shoelaces, you know, the kind of stuff they have in their car, all those little things, we take it in a nanosecond, and we form opinions or perceptions about what that person is like and how they walk through the world based on those details. So I kind of feel like you can never really have too many, particularly when, in a story like this, where you could do a kind of horror movie version of this story, but because, you know, we spent time with the real detectives and, you know, I spent some time with the victim's mom, it was very much a mandate that we weren't going to do that. We needed to pay, you know, for good or bad, we needed to pay respect to the authenticity, because there were real people involved, real victims, real families, real emotions, real loss, the kind of loss like wouldn't even be able to imagine.
Yeah.
So we needed to be as real as we could.
Well, and in addition to the authentic feel of the story you're telling, I mean, a major part of that is this very visceral sense of place that you establish. And I'm always so appreciative of movies that do that, that kind of transport me to a specific place, and it feels so genuine. What was it about that area that you wanted to bring out in your film, the characteristics of that place?
You know. So the film is set in Texas City. We shot in Louisiana, but the terrain and the architecture and the culture are very similar because it's all along the Gulf Coast. So I got really lucky that way. refinery towns, transient populations. The architecture, the little land house, a house on stilts. A lot of them were destroyed in the hurricanes, but that's part of the traditional architecture of the area. There's a quality along the Gulf of things being, how can I put it? There's not a distinct delineation as there is in L.A. or New York or Chicago between good and bad, good guys or bad guys, life and death. You know, everything is kind of, there's a lot of gray area. We went to a lot of prison facilities where the inmates had gone to high school with their warden, and we're still really good friends. You know, you just don't, I've been to facilities here in L.A., you don't have this kind of relationship. There's that kind of tone, which is really, I think, specific to Gulf culture, which I really wanted to try to capture. And it's beautiful, and it's mysterious, and you can't quite put your finger on it. And that was the location of the killing fields with the forest of dead trees. That to me was really important that we shot there, because it captured this quality of it being horrific. There's something just horrific about the structuralness, the almost architecture of these trees, but yet they're also gorgeous too. So you kind of want to be there and don't want to be there.
Right.
At the same time, I think there was sort of an inner visual tension that not only in that location but in the whole area that I wanted to try to capture.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question.
That absolutely does. Great job. There's one more quick question I want to ask you, because you've assembled just a fantastic cast. And I am fascinated by Chloe in all the films that I've seen her in, whether it be Let Me In or Hugo. I mean, and of course this film. I mean, she's got such a kind of a powerhouse talent and some kind of otherworldly understanding of these characters. Tell me about the experience of working with her.
The experience of working with Chloe was tremendous. She, you know, as I said, she came into audition. I knew immediately that she was the one, because she was the only kid, because I mean, I'm looking at kids, all the people that came in were like 10, 11, 12 years old. Chloe was 12 when we shot this. She was the only one who didn't approach the character as having any self-pity. Mm. And, you know, when you're that child, you know, as I said, I grew up in a small town in Indiana, so, you know, I knew kids like that. When you're a kid in that situation, you don't know that there's anything else. You don't know anything different. You're just trying to make your days and move through this gauntlet of your life to some idea you have of something better. But you don't have enough awareness of your situation to feel sorry for yourself, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
And she was the only one who really got that. She just kind of, like, she knew in some intellectual way that there was something wrong with her situation, but she's just going to sort of make it through, this kind of emotional, it's not even naivete, but sort of this emotional tenacity. And I thought that was so smart. And then, so I got really lucky and got her. And then working with her was just, she has total control of her craft. It's a craft that she has, and she has complete control over it. Like, she's not doing method, you know, I'm feeling this. She's totally in control of it. And it's just really a phenomenon to watch. She's already a brilliant actress, and she's only going to get better. She's really one to watch.
I agree. Thank you so much, Amy, and thank you for the great film.